Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless all that is within me. Bless her holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all her benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. She made known her ways to Moses, her acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verses 12 through 15. Then Solomon offered up burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord that he had built before the vestibule, as the duty of each day required, offering according to the commandment of Moses for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three annual feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Booths. According to the ruling of David his father, he appointed the divisions of priests for their service, and the Levites for their offices of praise and ministry before the priests, as the duty of each day required, and the gatekeepers and their divisions at each gate. For so David, the man of God, had commanded. And they did not turn aside from what the king had commanded the priests and the Levites concerning any matter and concerning the treasuries. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, who I proclaim to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Good morning and welcome to the 11th Friday after Pentecost. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Laguna Niguel, California. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 103, 2 Chronicles 8, and Acts 17. And it's just interesting to see, as late as the 17th chapter of Acts, the same kind of tactics are being used by the religious mob that isn't happy about what Christ has done in the world. And I say that because I noticed that the accusations that are made against Jason and, by extension, Saul, are that they're turning the world upside down and acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king. And on the one hand, it's true, but on the other, it's kind of not. And as I said, that they already tried that with Jesus and succeeded, but they had the Passover with on their side, and they had by all four gospel accounts, basically the whole people, save a handful of disciples and family and friends. But the irony is too soft a word. The Jews did have a king. It was the Herodians, and before that, it was the Idumeans. And what they're saying should be an affront to Herod Antipas or, you know, one of the others, because they were granted, you know, king status. And so it's vaguely hypocritical to say, oh, there's another king, because it's not really, you know, yeah, Rome is in charge. They're pulling the strings. But the Herodians are kings. They were Basileus. And, you know, Rome had their own words for that, but they didn't care if people, you know, used the wrong words to describe the person in charge who's duly authorized or allied with Rome. And so there are more than one king. I mean, it's just a given. And so it's, you know, on the one hand, you can tell it's a false report or, you know, kind of a stretch. But on the other, it's hypocritical. Like, we all have our kings, we all have our gods, and we all, you know, have multiple allegiances. But what does it mean that the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, which would have evoked priestly duties because it was priests who were anointed upon entering the service, and kings might be anointed too, but not all of them were. David was, Solomon was, but a lot of the good and bad kings weren't anointed. But priests, as far as the Bible is concerned, they were always anointed through, you know, Jesus' time, we can assume. And so what does it mean that our highest allegiance is to a priest, a high priest who doesn't, who's like a judge, the political figure that Israel was accustomed to but couldn't quite, you know, get it to work? What does it mean that that is our highest allegiance? And what happens when those allegiances conflict? If Rome at some point decided that they did want to be the only king, and this happened, you know, in 70 AD with a great revolt, but it isn't always the case. You know, if you think in absolutes, you think that everything always has to be, you know, black and white, then yeah, maybe you have a problem with it. But Rome was pretty pragmatic. They weren't as friendly as Persia and King Cyrus, giving money to rebuild the temple and ruling with a pretty soft touch, but they weren't, they also weren't Babylon. They weren't, you know, as as bad as people will have you believe today. And certainly not as bad as, say, Iraq, where, you know, you could be gassed if you're part of a family or a group or a clan that Saddam Hussein doesn't like. And so it's easy to make, you know, hard and fast distinctions and forget the context within which those distinctions even make sense. You know, you can make all the false accusations you want. You can be as hypocritical as you want, but that doesn't change. That doesn't change the context within which Jesus works in our lives and the way in which Jesus conducted his ministry during his own earthly life. The fact is we do have more than one king. The fact is that the world is getting turned upside down, or rather, I think, right side up. Christ came to show us the way God made the world. And that has deeper realness than, you know, the constructs that we have put around ourselves. So it's not true, frankly, that the world's being turned upside down. It is being righted, and Jesus shows us what being human really looks like, what a king should really look like, what a, and I don't even like that word because it's foreign to Israel, but not archetype, but the first human, you know, the top human, what does it look like, and what model do we have in our lives? Well, it looks like Christ. And people will be upset, just as the mobs were, that their world is getting kind of toppled, that the the old way of doing things, the way that we have built up around ourselves, is being exposed. Not always as much as we'd like, not always with as much force as we might like, but it is being exposed. For some people, that's frustrating. And for others, especially the poor and the oppressed, it's liberating. A prayer for sound government from the Book of Common Prayer. O Lord, our governor, bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to other nations of the earth. Teach our people to rely on your strength and to accept their responsibilities to their fellow citizens, that they may elect trustworthy leaders and make wise decisions for the well-being of our society, that we may serve you faithfully in our generation and honor your holy name. For yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Amen. Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/PewPewHQ. You can contribute as little as $1 a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.